Just turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, please, and verse 51. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51. The hymn our brother gave out has encouraged me to pass on this little word from this passage. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Our God will bless his word. This is the start of the journey which was to take the Lord Jesus to the highest pinnacle in the universe. Luke 22, verse 69, the Lord Jesus said, "Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sit on the right hand of power." Nelson Mandela was freed after 27 years in prison for a cause: to gain freedom for his black people suffering under racial segregation. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross to set us free from the bondage of sin. Our brother has spoken of redemption in Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. And I like what he said, and I agree with it. The blood is emphasized in Ephesians chapter 1 because the blood has infinite value with God. And his blood was shed on our behalf that we might have redemption through his blood. But in Colossians 1, it's the person who has infinite value with the Father. That is why in the Revised Version, as he has pointed out, the blood is left out. It's in him, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The person of Christ in Colossians chapter 1 is emphasized, the greatness of the person who accomplished this work to bring us salvation and redemption from the bondage and power of sin. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The wheels of time grind steadily on. The things which were ordained by a higher power came to pass. Nothing could change their course. Nothing has happened by chance. As life's events unfold, Christ accepted the things that came to pass that were according to the will of God. The time was come that he must be received up. God received him. And my friend, if you're not saved tonight, you can be if you receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Samaritans did not receive him, but we're thankful that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. That's how a sinner gets saved, by receiving him joyfully. The disciples received him willingly into the ship. And you'll never be saved unless your will is given over to Christ. And you're willing to be saved. God is willing to save you. And he's able to save. And he's willing to save you now. When Paul preached the gospel, he preached in Corinth how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried. And the third day he was raised again according to the scriptures. He's the Christ of history. Christ died. The greatest attested fact in history is not only that Christ died, but Christ was raised again from the dead. The Christ of Scripture. Christ died according for our sins according to the Scriptures. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Nothing happened by chance. All was ordained by a higher power. All was in the mind of God from eternity. That Christ should come and accomplish this great work on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. The Christ of doctrine. He died for our sins. Tremendous, isn't it? To think that our sins nailed him on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. And believing, we go free. My friend, as you sit in the meeting tonight, you're not saved. You can be saved tonight. And God is able and willing to save you. From your sins, the great work has been accomplished by the death of Christ once for all on Calvary. And if you believe on him, you will be saved for time and for eternity. He's the Christ of power, raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul said he was seen. Seen of above 500 brethren at once. The greatest proof of the resurrection. They were witnesses. Witnesses. 12 different appearances. The gospel of the pathway, he showed them his hands and his feet. The gospel of the love of God, John's gospel. He showed them his side. The soldier pierced his side and forthwith came out blood and water. And Thomas, when he saw him, and when he realized he was omniscient and omnipresent, he knew what he had said the previous Lord's Day, except I see, I will not believe. But he saw. And he said, my Lord, my God. Have you made that confession? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. During the funeral procession of Abraham Lincoln, a black mother standing behind the crowd of white people held her baby high above her head as the martyred president passed by and said, take a long look at him, son. That's the man who died for you. Take a long look at Christ. Take a long look at the cross. And you see there the manifestation of the love of God. God loves you. Christ died for you. And you could be saved tonight if you would just take that look. Look and live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We see the Lord Jesus here with his face set steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Chapter 9 to the end of the Gospel, we see the Lord's last journey as he came down from the mount, and it was to go to Jerusalem. His face stands for his person. This was the whole purpose of the incarnation, was that he might make that journey from heaven to Bethlehem, from Bethlehem to Calvary, and from Calvary to the very throne of God, having accomplished the work that God gave him to do. The Lord Jesus Christ, his face was stained with sweat. In the garden, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. In his pathway, his face was stained with tears. Tears for the city's sins. In Luke chapter 19, when he beheld the city, he wept over it. He said, if thou hadst known in this thy day the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He wept profusely as he saw what was going to happen to that city because they rejected their Messiah. Only a little picture of what will happen to the sinner who rejects the Savior and goes out into eternity unsaved. As I was listening to our brother the other day, unsaved, but not unloved. Not unloved. God loves you. Christ died for you. Shed tears at the grave of Lazarus. Tears for his friend's sorrows. That's the Savior we love. That's the Savior we trust. Not only one who died, but one who cares. One who weeps. The same Jesus. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Tears for the world's salvation in the garden. Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, contemplating the cup which he would drink. And that was the cup of judgment. He was to drink it to its bitter dregs. We might not have to thirst in hell for all eternity. His face was stained with blood. They plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. His face was stained with the foul spittle of men. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the soldiers, they spat on him. Said, I gave my back to the smiters and hid not my face from shame and spitting. His visage was more marred than any man's, and is far more than the sons of men. Smitten by men. Smitten by the chief priests and the elders and the soldiers. Smitten by God. In those 3 hours of darkness, God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, Israel thought he was smitten for him, making himself the Son of God. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. The story doesn't end there. His face is shining as the sun. The glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. He's been raised again from the dead. And now, as we've heard this morning, the gospel is preached. The gospel of the glory of the happy God. God's delighted to pour out his salvation to all who have a heart for his Christ. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you room for him tonight? Will you receive him? The Samaritans would not receive him because his face was set as though he would go to Jerusalem. I want you to think of some of the things that came to pass. There was a lifting up that he must endure. As Moses lifted up the son of the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Don't we sing sometimes, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah. What a Savior. A baptism he must experience. Luke chapter 15 and verse 50. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. Didn't he say, I sink in the deep mire where there's no standing? A baptism overwhelmed with the judgment of God. For your sins and for mine. A goal he must reach. He must needs go to Jerusalem. It cannot be that a prophet perished out of Jerusalem. Oh yes, they killed the prophets and stoned them that were sent unto him. And as Stephen said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do ye. You know, it's possible to resist the Holy Spirit. We've known that in our own experience. To hear the voice of God, to turn away. And yet God speaketh once, twice. Yet man perceiveth it not. Our God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in our brother's hymn, an hour that must strike. O glorious hour, when Jesus died, tremendous hour. Didn't the Lord say, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This was the hour in eternity. Someone has said, eternity past knew no other future but the cross. Eternity to come will know no other past but the cross. We'll never forget that hour when Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Is it nothing to you that passed by? Is it nothing to you that Christ loves you and Christ died for you and shed his precious blood? John chapter 10, a life you must give. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My, a wonderful thing, isn't it? As we were thinking of Luke chapter 15, regarding the lost sheep. My friend, you'll have to learn tonight that you're lost. If you don't understand that, you'll never be saved until you accept it. He left the 99 in the wilderness. Even after that which was lost, the 99 thought they had no need of repentance. They looked for it. The journey the Savior took was from the very heights of heaven, by way of the virgin womb, and on to Calvary to seek and to save that which was lost. He looked for it because he loved it. He loved it. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. I'm sorry for those who have no one to love them. If no one else does, God does. And he's proved it. God proveth his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the proof. No use saying you love someone if you don't demonstrate it. The direction of God's love is the world. The demonstration of God's love is that he gave his son to shed his blood on Calvary. Scriptures that must be fulfilled. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, John chapter 19, he said, I thirst. One scripture unfulfilled. Beginning of the sufferings, they offered him vinegar. He refused it. But Psalm 69 prophesied that they would give him vinegar to drink. And he said, I thirst. And they filled a sponge with vinegar. They filled it and dipped it in vinegar and put it to his mouth. And Jesus cried, it's finished. A work which he must accomplish. At the beginning of his public ministry, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And now it's finished. The suffering is ended. Sin has been put away. God is satisfied. He bowed his head, dismissed his spirit, and in 3 days God raised him from the dead. He showed himself alive with many proofs. And after 40 days, the disciples saw him enter into heaven. And he's given us this promise. This same Jesus, which you have seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. At death he must die. John chapter 12. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In chapter 11, Caiaphas said it's expedient that one man should die for the nation. And Jesus went and abode at Ephraim. What does Ephraim mean? God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The Lord went into death with the full realization that there would be fruit as a result of his death and glorious resurrection. He went into death in full confidence that God would raise him from the dead. I'm glad that there's a resurrection that must take place. He must rise again from the dead. And he must reign. Oh yes. The world's looking for an economic Messiah. The world's in turmoil. Peace conferences. Be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes back again and the reins of government are in his hands. And as we've heard today, he wants you to make him Lord now. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." My friend, if you do not allow the Lord to have the throne of your life now, you will never share his throne then. No. What are you going to do with Jesus? Have you considered what it cost the Savior to purchase your freedom and salvation? Is he worth trusting? Is there one tonight will say, "Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven and earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me." I'll never forget a young fellow, 14, in Belfast, in hospital, dying. And that was the verse that won that boy's heart. And he said from his heart, "Jesus, I will trust you. I'll trust you now." And in 4 days, he was in heaven.
I'll ask that you just close your eyes and bow your heads. We'll speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we approach thee tonight in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee. We've been singing of redemption ground. We thank thee for the wonderful truth of redemption. We thank you that at the place called Calvary, the Lord Jesus went. We read in thy word, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee for the price that was paid at Calvary when the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We thank thee that there we see the love of God manifest. There at Calvary we see the grace of God. And we marvel tonight when we think that there is available the gift of God, which is eternal life, to the whosoever that will trust Christ as Savior. We thank thee for this large audience that have come along tonight to hear the gospel. We thank thee, our God, for the Bible that gives us the wonderful message of God's love and the truth of the death of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee tonight that the Savior died at Calvary is a living Savior at God's right hand in the glory, and that he's going to come back soon. We praise thee for this day of grace. We thank thee now, our Father, for these days. Pray the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. And pray tonight that the Word of God in all of its simplicity might go forth, and that there might be those tonight who will become aware of that, that there is a terrible problem of sin that can only be remedied by Christ, that they might come to see their need tonight and come to trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. We do pray then in the blessing of God upon his word, even to the salvation of others and glory for the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Number 159, please. 159, my reading verse. Oh, what beauties in that lovely name appear. None but Jesus in his glories shall the honored title wear. My Redeemer, thou hast my salvation. Number 159.